This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Richardson, we need some Christmas promos on this network. You know, you're used to other stations and you always hear something.
Yeah.
I mean, usually they're Jeff over at the mall, you know, hey, gotta buy this, gotta buy that. We've got a Christmas special. But boy, you just sort of feel it not there. It's like, what's missing? What's missing at this time of the year? Well, any Christmas promo. Would you go spin one off for the Neutral Zone or something, sir? Folks, if you want to reach out to the program, feedback@AMI.ca, you can do that. You can ask questions if you just want to send an email. While you're in there, you can even ask questions about AMI TV, AMI Tele, or AMI Audio, or a specific program, feedback@AMI.ca. On Twitter, @AMI Audio. Best way to follow along with the programs, @AMI Audio. You can even see what's coming up next on the live shows. Phone number 1-866-509-4545 in case you want to leave us a message. Mention it's for Kelly and Company and give us permission to use your message. 1-866-509-4545. Kelly McDonald, host of the program. I'm at the London, Ontario home studio. That guy over there, Brock Richardson, he's co-hosting today at the home studio in Kitchener.
Yeah, see, Kelly, but then the problem is if you get Christmas promos, there's other stations that start it far, far too early. Oh, but I digress.
Yeah.
Speaking of a staple on Friday, we often get an app update, and to do that, we bring on John Buehler. So let's do it.
This is the App Show, unlocking software secrets for smartphones, tablets, TVs, and more.
John, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. It's been a bit since we have chatted, at least on these airways. Your first topic is a browser extension shows how many brands on Amazon are actually just Amazon. How does this work?
Yeah, one of the complaints about Amazon that's been sort of lobbed against them in recent years is that a lot of times the search results favor Amazon's own product lines. And so it doesn't give a fair shake to other companies that are trying to get their products in front of their customers. And so a company called The Markup, they created a new browser extension. This is available for Chrome browsers and for Firefox. And what this does is that actually as you're browsing the Amazon website, looking at various product searches, it'll actually highlight specific products in your search results with a giant orange sort of background around them, telling you that, hey, this is actually just an Amazon company, but, you know, it's not really a third party per se. And it's actually kind of surprising how many of these brands are just basically Amazon themselves. Instead of saying it's just Amazon, they have all these other sub brands for everything from clothing to electronics to all kinds of different stuff. Obviously, if it's something that's properly Amazon, like say a Kindle or something like that, it will be highlighted. But it's also kind of surprising how many of these sub-brands they actually have that you would never know, because a lot of times it's some weird name that you've never heard of that's selling socks right alongside a name brand company selling socks.
And how many of these extra brands are there that people don't know? Like you said, there's quite a few.
Yeah, I would say there's probably at least dozens, if not hundreds, because it sort of depends on the product category as to how deep this rabbit hole goes. But they even have their own page. It's their Amazon's private and select exclusive brands page where you can see some of the logos for some of these things. You know, some of them are obvious, like Amazon Basics or Amazon Essentials, but there's just tons of other ones for, like, you know, baby clothing, baby toys, pet stuff, electronics, like you name the category, they're going to have at least a handful of sub-brands that is really just Amazon rebranded. And one of the things behind this is because Amazon knows how good of a system they actually have for their marketplace. And so the concern is, and sort of the legal issue at play here, is that Amazon is over-favoring their own brands in the search results. So this is going to be an interesting way for people to really sort of see how much is actually just Amazon and how much is actually a proper third party.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
It's funny.
go ahead, Brock. I'll throw mine in and we'll move on.
It's funny that you were going to, because I wouldn't think that, like, I'm not surprised that Amazon would favor their own product because, after all, it is Amazon. Are you surprised or just surprised at the volume of others that are now around that are coming out and saying, hey, we're over here too?
I'm not surprised by it. I just think it may be one of those unfair practices that mm-hmm. is happening here because these third-party vendors that say I have my own line of socks, I'm at the bottom of the list when it comes to someone looking for my socks behind all the Amazons, which are potentially maybe cheaper. They're maybe imported from overseas versus like a handmade product that I made myself in Canada kind of thing. So the unfair practices and anti-competitive nature of this, we've seen this before with Apple and Google and their search results for even their own apps on their app stores.
Oh yeah.
That type of thing. So yeah. it's not a good practice. But they're also not that shadowy about it because, like I said, they do have a page that lists sort of some of their brands. So they're kind of like, hey, this is us. But you really have to go digging for that page.
It's you see this with bricks and mortar for years. You'd have those things that were the generic whatever or the ones that the conglomerate actually was theirs. But then you also had the others on the side, and unless they were paying big money, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, let's say, or whoever, then they had their own shelf placement, they had their own display, but it really was all about so much of that stuff and so much getting pushed behind. Sir, let's move on to edge users who aren't happy about Microsoft's built-in buy now, pay later tool. Why not?
Well, this is interesting. We were trying to see if this actually has come to Canada yet, and it doesn't look like it has. But this is sort of like maybe a future thing that will come and that could have some negative impact. One of the challenges is when people go online shopping, online vendors have a number of different ways that allow you to pay for those products. And what Microsoft's Edge wants to do is build in at the browser level the ability to pay later for a product you're going to get sooner. So it's like a payment plan system. But what this is effectively doing is that this is actually bypassing whatever the particular vendor has as far as options, because they have to manually opt out as a vendor from Microsoft's list of these things. And it also does something kind of interesting and a little not nefarious, but just not a good thing. This means that Microsoft's Edge browser is also tracking all of its mm-hmm. shopping characteristics and tracking you because it's trying to offer you these things across any website, not just a handful of websites. So they've basically yeah. integrated this short-term financing service called Zip, which used to be called QuadPay, which allows you to then, you know, pay over time for small items from $35 to $1,000. And basically just allows you to like, oh, I'm going to have to do six payments, you know, over 6 months kind of thing, that type of thing. And so there's a lot of sort of people that are mad that, A, this is there because it's, you know, it's a potential tracker. There's the vendors that are mad because it sort of forces this service onto their customers without them really having any say in it unless they opt out. And that's assuming they even know this is a thing. So, yeah, it's there's one more way that Microsoft's trying to make a buck while you're browsing the internet.
Wow. It's tough because so much of the plan that we've heard about over the years will be, oh, they'll be able to track. They'll see what you're into. Your Google Home is listening to you. So if you tend to, you know, anything it picks up, you ask about this, you ask about that. There's all that intelligence to figure out, oh, well, maybe you'd be interested in this then. And we know that's coming. We know that's the way it's going to go. You just wonder what will be the legislated kind of cutoffs and say, okay, that's hitting below the belt. That's getting too personal. That's invading into people's territories too much, John. I'm wondering when those hearings will start.
Yes. Well, the other thing that this sort of brings to light too is this potential abuse on a number of ways. One is these services typically don't do deep credit checks.
Right.
So criminals can take advantage of that by using fake accounts and that type of thing. So then ultimately the vendor gets the short end of the stick. And also, this is, you know, for people that are, you know, impulse shoppers or people in financial trouble, this could be really bad because it sort of diminishes the overall cost of something, which is a good thing. But they could tend to use this a little bit more so than they probably should and shop beyond their means.
Could it open that door too for what we worry about or worried about for so long over the phone or those ads you'd see on TV for get our product only available via this way and that, and you get it and it's like just a piece of junk. If you're talking that way, you could really open the door for stuff to be moved for those who buy into it. That really is that criminals that have just have some front up and have done all the crossing of the T's, dotting of the I's to get a product out there that's just not what we need.
Yeah, or maybe you don't even get.
Yeah. Wow.
John, your third topic is a good one as well. CVS's pharmacy's spoken RX prescriptions labels are now available at all locations. Give us the scoop.
Yeah, this I hope this comes to Canada, but right now it's just at the CVS pharmacy in the U.S., and this is a really clever idea. What they've done is they've actually put an RFID tag on the top of every prescription bottle that they fulfill. And with their app, you are able to just scan your prescription bottle and it'll tell you what prescription it is, the directions for its usage, all that type of stuff. It makes it really easy for someone that has a visual impairment or is blind to be able to know what's going on in that particular bottle of pharmaceuticals. And using these things called spoken labels. And it's, I think, from what I can tell, it looks like it's basically just a free service that you just request and it gets added to your prescription. And so I think that's a really cool, interesting way to use some tech that's very low cost to, you know, really enhance the end user experience with dealing with prescription bottles and labels.
Nice to see.
You know, one of the things that really drives me crazy is when I call the pharmacy to renew my prescription and they always say to me, can I have the RX number? And I'm like, no, I can't see it. Yeah. So just for that alone I'd be able to, you know, go over, do that, give me all the information. And then I immediately call and then, you know, bam, there it is. I can give them the RX number, but I always have to do the, no, can I give you the name of the prescription? And then they have to look it up on the computer. And like, they would much rather me give them the RX number. But if it's not accessible, there's not much I or the rest of us right now in Canada can do.
Yeah. So let's hope it comes to Canada.
Yeah. Well, there's a big push for so much of this stuff, especially since the danger. No one, we don't want anyone making mistakes, but it gives you an empowerment and people on multiple medications. It's just such a bonus for a lot of that reason you're talking, Brock. Google Play apps downloaded 300,000 times, stole bank credentials. What happened here?
Yeah, this is sort of the latest in a bunch of ways that criminals are trying to figure out a way to bypass the security checkpoints that Google has put into place to prevent malicious apps from getting into the App Store. And what they're doing is they're actually creating a legitimate app or rebranding in a legitimate app. Things like QR code scanners, PDF scanners, cryptocurrency wallets, things that people actually might want to use. And what they're doing is they're actually uploading a proper working app to the App Store, to the Play Store. And then later on, they turn on an update and they basically prompt the user, oh, you need to download an update that'll fix things. What it does is it actually gets rid of the functionality of the app and it starts just harvesting all of your credentials on your phone. So it's really difficult for, you know, Google to sort of keep track of this. It's kind of like whack-a-mole, right? Because it just keeps happening. We've talked about this many times, and every time it's hundreds of thousands of downloads that people have these malicious apps, but they don't know it's malicious until they actually run it, get an update, and then they get swapped in with the malicious software. So it's really hard for Google to even find it until it's already too late.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing for sure. John, really great stuff that you had today. Really appreciate that. And I certainly learned much about Amazon and also RX labels. So thanks so much for joining us today, as you always do on Fridays.
No problem. Glad to be here.
That was John Beeler of The App Show. John will be back for his next update next Friday at this time every week.
Some great congratulations and acknowledgements, folks, we'll talk about next. Barrier Free Canada announced their annual award winners this week. We'll discuss those awards with Karen McGee in about 2 minutes here on Kelly & Company. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.